As our scripture reader, Andrew Weiss, makes his way up front to the podium, please join with me in our prayer for illumination. Holy Spirit, pour out upon us wisdom and understanding, that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be open to receive all that leads to life and holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, and then 44 through 51. It can be found on page 1518 in your pew Bible or on the screen overhead. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour, and so it worked all through the dough. And then continuing with verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. Thanks be to God for his word.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? You guys like Honey Nut Cheerios?
Yes.
Who doesn't? It was funny. Four people came up to me when I was walking in. They were like, we're having breakfast today. Everybody likes Honey Nut Cheerios, apparently. I loved it. Growing up, when I was your age, the best part about Honey Nut Cheerios, aside from how good they were, and I still have them like every day, by the way, is they still put toys in the cereal boxes. They still do that?
Yeah.
Sometimes. That's always fun, right? You don't expect to get a toy when you have your cereal, right? So this particular box of Honey Nut Cheerios was not a special toy edition, but who wants to dig in here, see? Brad, what's in here? If you dig through, what do you find?
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah, but what's underneath the Honey Nut Cheerio?
The box.
The box is technically underneath the Honey Nut Cheerios, but put your hand in there, dig around, see, what do you find? You're going to find something that's not a Honey Nut Cheerio. Nope, keep looking. It's not a Honey Nut Cheerio. Emily can dig in too.
A dot.
It's not a toy, and it's not a Honey Nut Cheerio. Either I forgot to put this in there.
Found something.
Oh, found something. Who found it? Oh, Emily, what did you find?
A cross.
You found a cross. You don't expect to find a cross in our Honey Nut Cheerio every morning, do we? But today, Pastor is going to be preaching about hidden treasures, and we just heard about hidden treasures in the book of Matthew, and the title of the sermon is actually Hidden in Plain Sight. And you know, it's funny, sometimes throughout our days, whether we're in school or whether we're at work or whether we're traveling, whatever we may be doing, it's very easy to overlook the hidden treasures in our life, and it's very easy to overlook the fact that God is everywhere. He is all around us. He's when we travel, when we go to school, when we're feeling good, when we're not feeling good. So as we go about our summer and we're traveling and we're playing sports or whatever it is we may be doing, it's important to keep in mind that God is always with us. Even when we're having our cereal, he's always there with us every moment of every day. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this magnificent summer day you've given us today and the opportunity to be here and to worship you and hear more about your word. And we're thankful, dear God, for those hidden treasures that you put in our life. Sometimes they appear in the places that we least expect to find them, but we're thankful for your presence in our lives, in good times and in bad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
So, Mary, why don't we have cereal with treasure in it? You know, maybe we'd find a mustard seed. Well, have you understood all these things? Jesus asks his disciples after this period of teaching. Yes, no problem. Well, we'll see about that, because there is a lot here. As lovely as it is, very few people would cite Matthew 13 as a favorite verse of Scripture. It's not read at weddings or funerals or during hospital visits. You'll not find it embroidered on wall hangings. It's an easy chapter to skim over. There's no hard-to-pronounce biblical names or hefty theological truths. It's just an array of common items that Jesus uses to describe what is priceless beyond measure. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, he says, or like yeast, a handful of yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, or a pearl merchant, or a fishing net. It's a surprising comparison between the sacred and the ordinary. Now, students here will know that comparing one thing to another, describing one thing by comparing it to another, is called, do you know our liturgist today? Is it metaphor? Is it simile? Metaphor? Her eyes are as blue as the sky. Your voice is like simile. Is that a simile? Like, okay, similar. Okay, your voice is like fingernails on a blackboard. You know, newscaster the other week, I liked this simile he used. He said, it was raining so hard, it was like a curtain of water. Like that. So Jesus often taught in this manner, using the ordinary to describe the extraordinary. And today Jesus gives us five parables back to back to back. Five snapshots of how God works, and they come so quickly that we scarcely have time to ponder. Kingdom of heaven is like a seed, like yeast, like a fishing net, like a pearl merchant. It's almost as though Jesus does not want us to dwell too long on any one image, but be dazzled by the variety of things that the kingdom of heaven is like. But exactly what does that mean, kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? You hear the term often enough to know that it's important, but there's often some confusion. During seminary, my New Testament professor stressed every sermon must mention the kingdom of God. And at that time, I didn't know what he meant. And I was foolish enough not to ask. I thought everyone should know what the kingdom is. So when I was working on sermons about once every page, I would insert the phrase, the kingdom of God, where it seemed appropriate. Could I bluff my way through this paper? And those papers came back to me with all my kingdom references circled in red and a note from the professor. I don't get it. What do you mean? You know, C plus. Yeah. In each parable, Jesus' focus is upon the kingdom as something extremely desirable, priceless beyond measure. Yet when he speaks of kingdom, I mean, heaven would be in the mix, absolutely, but it's not so much a location or a place as it is a condition, a way of thinking and seeing and living. Kingdom is knowing that God is in control, even in the bleakest of circumstances, and that when life unravels, God is by our side, will never leave or forsake us. Kingdom is knowing that earthly goodbyes are not the final word, and that believers shall reunite in life eternal. Kingdom is knowing that there is one who knows us completely, all our flaws, and yet loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. It's the certainty that God hears and answers prayer. Kingdom of heaven is the bedrock assurance that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the children's message this morning was right on target. You know, how kingdom surrounds us all the time, yet we don't always see. It's hidden in plain view. There are so many kingdom experiences that we could relate, each of us, but here's one that kept coming to my mind. It's from several summers back. About this time of year, it was 4th of July weekend. And for whatever reason, our home phone was not working. Now, not a big deal, except the college where our daughter was working for the summer in Massachusetts was trying to reach us. They did not have our cell phones. This was about 8-9 years ago. And we had no idea. And eventually they reached our emergency contact person, an out-of-state relative who phoned us, Mary and me, and said, "Hey, the college has been trying to reach you. Your daughter, Sarah, has been in an accident." That's all we knew. Now, there's a good ending to this story. I'll tell you that right now. But for a stretch of time, we had no idea. This being a holiday weekend, the campus was closed. And so when we phoned, all we got, every office we tried, was an answering machine. Campus will be open again on July 5th. Enjoy the weekend. It was as scared as we have ever been. We realized our absolute dependence upon God. We managed to choke out a few pleading prayers. Why on this day of all days was our phone not working? Well, the good ending. Our daughter, with several other staff members, was leading a day camp. They were on a rock climbing expedition when a summer storm moved in quickly. Now, they got all the campers to safety, but as the leaders went back to retrieve the ropes and the gear, a lightning strike 30 feet away threw them all into the air and leaving them, you know, in shock. Ambulances transported the three leaders to the hospital, and all were released 5 hours later. But for a stretch, all we had to go on was the peace of God that passes all understanding, and we clutched it so tightly. What if the outcome had been different, as it is for so many tragedies? I imagine that over time, we would have partially recovered. We know that God is God. We know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nothing will shake that. But to know God's presence with us, that God is in control and nothing enters our lives without God's awareness, that's kingdom living. A week ago, we received 2 phone calls from family members, separately, unrelated, and each had very discouraging news. And they're people of faith, so again, all we could realize, working on this passage, it was just fresh in my head, in my heart, all right? You know, they're leaning on God during this difficult time. So will we. That's kingdom living. It's not necessarily easy, but it's priceless. Can you imagine living without it? Jesus says it is of surpassing value. It surrounds us. "Have you understood all this?" he asked the disciples. "Yep, yes." And when Jesus asks us, "Do you understand this?" he's not talking just about the head. How does understanding this affect the way you live and how you think and how you see things, how you interact? Jesus is always looking on that, how that word takes root in our life, his word. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. That's roughly the size of a head of a pin. You won't find it as a prize in a Cheerios box, I don't think. But you plant it and it grows. And as Christ teaches, the disciples, I think, are expecting him to say, it grows into a massive tree. Now, I think your version of scripture, the NIV, says a tree, but the translation is a shrub. It grows into a big shrub, large enough for sparrows to plant their nests. And I don't think in the hymn book is the hymn, a mighty mustard shrub is our God. We say a mighty fortress is our God. But Jesus often shows greatness in forms we do not expect. From unremarkable beginnings to unimaginable endings, God's kingdom expands. A tiny mustard seed becomes a huge shrub. From one man preaching in a remote corner of the world into the life-changing transformation found worldwide in Jesus Christ. That's God's kingdom hidden in plain view, expanding. Same thing for the yeast. A woman mixes it with flour. It sounds like a cooking lesson Jesus is giving his disciples. But if you notice, it says, Jesus says she mixes the yeast into a large amount, actually 3 measures of flour. This is enough to feed a small army. It's like 50 pounds of flour. Who cooks like this? Jesus' point is that God's kingdom expands. Just the small influence. And God's purposes are carried out in mighty ways, like yeast working into bread. We don't see it happening. We don't always perceive it, but it's a call to faith for us. And our response to the truth that Jesus is presenting is found in the parables of the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl merchant. Now, each discovers something so precious that they sell everything they have in order to possess it. But notice the difference. The treasure seeker, treasure finder, stumbles across his find. He's not looking for it. He's walking in a field. His foot nudges a half-hidden jar. He sees that it's treasure. He buries it, buys the field. The find is dazzling and unexpected. I'll tell you my treasure in a field moment. Several years back, I taught guitar for years for a group of sisters, a group of nuns who had their house. They had a music studio. They had taught piano, and I taught guitar. One stretch, the nuns did a major house cleaning service, and in the dumpster was an old battered guitar, you know, covered with trash. It had nails in it and everything. I said, asked the sisters if I could have it. I thought perhaps I could get it repaired. Oh, they said, certainly. We've been trying to get rid of that thing for years. So I took it. The good ending is that I received a check for $2,600 for this guitar. And they were going to take about 7 or 8 years to restore it. For you guitar players, this was a Martin guitar, pre-World War II herringbone pearl inlay guitar. They were going to repair it, and they would sell it for about $28,000, $30,000. Now, I gave the sisters a large check. I wasn't looking for, but now, before we leave Wyckoff today, Mary and I will spend a time looking in dumpsters around your town, seeing what you could find. I wasn't looking for a treasure that day. Neither was the man who stumbled across it. Unexpected. The pearl merchant, however, is a seeker, and he discovers exactly what he's been looking for. He sells whatever he has to make that pearl his own. This is how it is with God's kingdom, Jesus said. Some people are on a quest. They read widely, and they ask questions. And they study, and they're captivated by Jesus Christ, by the message of the cross. They're drawn into the depth of Jesus' sacrifice for us, and life is rearranged. There is just as many others who are simply going through the routine of the day, cooking or gardening, or tightening bolts, or filing papers, or half listening to a sermon. And a word sinks in, a message, it breaks through, catches them off guard, and life is rearranged. God is nearer than ever before. It happens. It happens all the time. 3 weeks ago, Mary and I were worshiping in a church. They had a seminary student who was preaching. She did a fine job. But it was just a little offside comment about the body being a temple that somehow gripped me in a new and fresh way. I wasn't anticipating that. And kind of caused me to examine some of the ways that I'm treating my body and some of the ways that I'm living. So Jesus points to the diverse ways that God makes himself known and how God brings truth into our lives. The discovery is a gift. A gift. And however and whenever it is received, it's the event of a lifetime, and it must be claimed for the treasure that it is. Do you understand all this? Jesus said, meaning our response is vital. And here's where the fishing net parable comes in. It's a word of encouragement to the church, to abundant life, to friends here from Pompton Reformed Church, to other churches, any community of faith. It's a word to the church in our outreach efforts, desire of making Christ known. Kingdom is like a fishing net, Jesus says, which the fisherman casts, and all sorts of fish are gathered in. The delicious and the edible and bottom feeders and fish you really want nothing to do with. The fisherman casts wide and deep. And that sorting out of good from bad comes later. That's how it is with the church. The doors are thrown open here at Abundant Life. Worship and teaching and programs. And into the church come those who are deeply serious about matters of faith, who desire to serve and to grow. Others come for any number of reasons. A nephew is being baptized, or it looks like a lovely sanctuary for a wedding, or they feel pressured. You know, motives vary. It's not our part to judge, ever. But all are welcomed. What God will do and what truths will lay hold, that's one of the delightful mysteries of our faith. Even when it appears that not a whole lot is going on, like 50 pounds of flour taking shape and becoming bread. Even when we can't see that, God's Spirit is penetrating deeply, quietly, growing steadily, like a seed underground that bursts forth. Kingdom in plain sight. Have you understood all these things? So it's a probing question. Do these truths affect the way that you and I think and live and act? How do you respond? The disciples say, yes, we get it. May that be so for us. Go forth with that love of Jesus Christ alive and growing in your hearts, a priceless treasure, and help others to know. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for the priceless treasure of your Son, alive and growing in our lives. Now we ask that you would open our hearts afresh to ways of expanding your kingdom, casting our nets wide and helping others know and embrace the Savior. For his name's sake, amen. Would you stand with me and we affirm what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.